That was Lucky Day, featuring Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Man, Lucky got it, man. Like,
produced by Babyface.
The Elements.
Yeah, one of my
favorites. Lucky, man. That man can sing, but
he can sing. Welcome to another episode of State of Black Music.
SOBM.
SOBM.
Yeah, my man. People.
At this point, you should know we always come with something exciting and special.
Yeah.
So this is no different. At this point, I think we're bringing in legends. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, man. And what's so crazy about it is that these legends in particular had such a large influence on black music, black culture, and Louis York.
100%.
Because we pattern a lot of our ideas about the way we see music and see the world and see ourselves in music and the world from these guys. And so to just be able to sit with them, man, and share ideas and talk about their legacy and their history, man. It's just like, I'm like, what is life? When you can do that, like when you can, like I remember hearing their songs when I was a little kid and just like, it was magic.
Yeah.
Like, there was no difference in these guys in Disney. There was no difference in these guys in Looney Tunes. It was just like this magical thing that my child brain could consume.
Like for me, to your point, Chuck, it's just like, it's like they cool as fuck. Like,
like, you feel me?
Like you have this idea in your mind of how they're going to be, and you kind of try to mentally prepare yourself for whichever way the interaction may go.
Yeah.
And you get there and it's just like, what's up? And it's just like, it helps you to like not be so uptight when you get in front of someone that you, like to your point, you've been listened to for years and years and years. Like every fish fry, every cookout, every
crazy
family reunion, like all of that goes through your mind when you see somebody like that, like in your face. It's crazy.
I was gonna say that, like, even beyond like one specific song, I think when I was growing up, and I didn't realize that till I was really talking and looking at them, but like my upbringing was two musical soundscapes. It was what everything Quincy was doing, and then there was this Earth, Wind, and Fire sound. They're both equally big, and international. Ugh, it's just so big and it encompasses so much, because it's like, it's everything. It's hip hop, it's jazz, it's R&B, it's gospel, it's classical.
It's the fabric of America.
It's theatrical.
It's theatrical. Oh. It's world music. Mm. It's got stuff from every continent in there. It really is the fabric of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
State of Black Music.
Their sound gets so much credit, but their songwriting was, oh man. Here.
Hello?
Jesus.
I was listening to All in All before I got here. Like, we think the Bad Boy era, or like the 90s was when interludes first became a thing. Like those things to kind of bridge, were the bridges on the albums to kind of pull everything together. No, Earth, Wind, and Fire, they were creating full out stories with their albums. Like,
so intentional with their work.
And it's just like everything just kind of, it flows together. Like it's amazing to me.
Yeah, man. So guys, we shouldn't keep the people waiting.
We should not.
We have legendary guests that have something legendary to say. I introduce Earth, Wind, and Fire.
The Elements.
State of Black Music.
Welcome to another week of the State of Black Music podcast. Make some noise.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Woo. So I'm just going to pretend like they're not sitting to my right now. And just, I mean, it's a whole list of accolades that I could go to, but I'm just going to take a few. Is that okay, Claude?
Just a couple.
Yeah, man.
Timon, is that okay?
Yeah, that's perfect.
So they've scored 8 number one hits and have sold over 100 million albums worldwide. They've released 23 albums. 8 of those albums went double platinum or more and hit the top 10, making them one of the best all-time selling artists in history. They won an impressive 9 Grammy Awards, including one for Lifetime Achievement in 2012. And they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, cementing their lasting impact on popular music. For their record-breaking success, they've also been awarded Lifetime Achievement honors from ASCAP, NAACP, BET, and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm going to close this computer because you see who's to my right. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the Elements, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. So honored to have y'all here.
So thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's double exciting,
yeah.
I want to add, because we're also speaking to legends in what I would call a legendary place.
Yeah.
How about that?
So we are in the Roots Theater right now at the world famous National Museum of African American Music here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, 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 indeed.
So, I mean, let's just start off by a museum for our music. Long overdue, wouldn't you agree?
Museum. Absolutely.
Right.
So how does it feel to be at a place, I know there's much more for you to see, but how does it feel to be sitting in a place that's dedicated to the hard work of musicians like yourselves that came before you, that are happening now, and of course you all. Of course you will. How does it feel to be in a building that's finally dedicated to what we all do every day and kind of have changed the world with?
Well, like you said, it's long overdue. We're looking forward to our tour tomorrow. We're going to spend some time here, you know, with the other members of the band. But yeah, it's long overdue and much celebrated, you know.
And as we are in this building, I'm just curious to know your opinions, because again, black music, as I tell people, is American music often. What is your opinions of the state, the current state of black music?
You started, you're going to hit the ball over the park, right?
We go in.
Yeah. You know, okay, I hope that we can be as honest as possible without, you know, being, you know, any, you know, people taking offense, but in today's culture, you pretty much can't say too much of anything without offending somebody.
Right, that's right. True.
So you know, we could give you all the pattern, you know, patented answers, but then we could have conversation, guys want to do.
We want to have conversation,
right?
Absolutely.
Right. So you know, there's good, and this is just my opinion. You know, there's good and bad everything, and I personally listen to all genres of music, all of them, and there's in my opinion good, really good, great stuff in all of those genres. The state of our culture, music right now, is interesting because I'm finding that a lot of artists are not doing their homework, you know, in terms of, you know, just studying the history of the craft. Michael Jackson was one of those people who was just notorious for digging way back. He was such a student of the art, and as Beyonce, you know, so you're able to bring things forward and, you know, reinvent stuff, you know, and pay tribute to it at the same time, you know, and do it correctly, you know. So I like to see a lot of the artists do a little bit more studying.
More studying. I agree.
Me too.
I'm a student. I would say you have to be a fan and love this thing first,
mm-hmm,
before you call yourself a pro at anything. So it's a daily learning and relearning, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I would have to agree with Philip. If they could do their homework and study the people that came before them. What's great about this museum is that people can go back and see what happened before them, because a lot of times we get lost in history. People, they don't even know you did anything, you know. So by them coming here, they can see, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's where that came from, you know. We recently, I'm hopping around, we did verses this year, and it was really beautiful. But a lot of the young people didn't know we had done those songs. They only heard us through samples. No, I'm not your man, you're not my girl, I'ma call
you mine. What are your feelings on sampling when artists, whatever genre music, I mean, clearly you all are signing off, but is there certain requirements or is there certain lyrical content that is prohibited? I'm just curious to know, like, how your thoughts on artists sampling your art.
Well, it's changed over time. At first, when it first started, artists were not compensated,
mm-hmm,
and because it was so new, and then all, you know, after time, you know, when they really started to get that together, for us, it's been a compliment, you know, to helping the legacy of the music continue to play it forward, you know, to newer audiences.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't like all the sampling though, because I love the original. Y'all, I mean, just I grew up on Earth, Wind, and Fire, and same. I personally, and I said to myself, I pretend sometimes that I'm y'all. Like I'm like, what? I approve a sample if it came through of any of these great songs, and I get it on Paying It Forward, but it's just such great art that I just, you know, sometimes the generations, as we talked about, they don't really know the legacy and the art and just the
right.
musicianship of just what you all created, and so. Just because it's a cool loop, I just don't, you know, but I do think an artist like Lucky Day, so a good segue to Lucky, who I feel like gets it mm-hmm. and is a student, and, you know, on the You Want My Love, the new single that's out now, how did that collaboration come about with you guys and Lucky Day?
Well, we had been talking about doing a project and that we're calling Duets with artists of today. And we were talking to Babyface, to Kenny Edmond about it when we were inducted into the what were we doing the
Kennedy Center.
Kennedy Center.
Right. Yeah. So many awards. See?
Yeah.
So.
and so we were just kicking it around, and we said, man, we really love you to get involved with us on this, you know, this duets project. So that's how it started, and. He said that he really liked to take a look at Can't Hide Love, and mentioned that he had a relationship with Lucky Day, and so that's how it started.
Because Babyface nice. Produced this new mm-hmm. reimagined version. Yep. I saw, okay, it's mm-hmm. amazing.
And that's an example of a great writer producer that knows the music, so we're able yes. to put it in a frame that y'all can accept it. Then you got a great artist like Lucky Day. You know, of today's generation that can kind of bring it together, you know.
I approved that one, though. That's one I would
approve. You approved that one? Chuck, you want to say something?
Yeah, you guys talked about going on tour tomorrow, and that's a long time in the music business to still be touring. So I want to know the key to y'all's longevity as Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, there's a very special chemistry between the three of us. We really enjoy being on stage. We enjoy what we do, you know, and every night that we go out and hit the stage, we're trying to shoot for a personal best. You know, it never ends, you know. You're trying to perfect what you do, which is something Maurice is very much into, perfection, you know. And it's touring is how you reach the people, man. You know, it's not always through streaming or, you know, the digital media. Sometimes you have to go out there and get in their faces and let them see you, you know, and we really enjoy it. We got a later start this year because of the COVID situation, but we'll be touring into December, and we always look forward to getting together, you know.
That's awesome.
Well, one thing about it, the history of the band is Maurice's whole vision was, and these were his words, to make music that rendered a service to humanity. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's a beautiful
so
thing.
Good.
Yeah, you know, man. And so it's one of those kinds of things that, you know, even I, you know, being you know, a principal member of the band, you understand more and more as you play it forward, you know, as right. you keep going, you know. But actually, you know, to see that dream really come true, you know, that's the reason why he wanted to fuse many different elements, different genres of music together. In one band, you know, that's the reason why we chose to make our conversation lyrically, you know, universal, you know, along with the artwork, you know, exposing, you know, African culture, mm-hmm. you know, and bringing, you know, pride to our people, and bringing people together, you know. And I think that, you know, when, you know, with his intention musically, seeing that come true, it took on a life of its own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually taken on a life of its own. And so now, you know, it's, you know, we've been endowed with the responsibility, you know, for now 30 years, you know, because Maurice stopped touring about
right. 94.
94, yeah. You know, we actually consider it such an honor, you know, to just take that vision, continue to play that vision forward, you know.
Adding to what Philip has said, Maurice referred to the music we do as full spectrum music.
Right.
And that pretty much covers all the genres, you know, and you hear it when you listen to our records, you know.
And we're getting new fans every day. Yeah. You know, we're on like five generations.
I love that.
You know, people are bringing their kids, their grandkids, and
it's timeless.
Yeah, it's been timeless, and you feel better when you leave than when you came. Exactly. You know, and there's a special moment that Philip does in the show. He probably can explain it better when he has all the phones because of this COVID situation, and you see all the lights, and you see everybody one. You know, because we've all been affected by this COVID era, and it's beautiful to see everybody come together.
That's what it's supposed to do.
In terms of the generations we've covered, Verdeen likes to refer to it as 8 tracks to iPods.
Now it's moved on to everything.
To everything to digital.
It's all over the place.
State of Black music.
Well, speaking of generations and just bringing people together, I will say that the Versus opportunity that you guys took advantage of earlier this year it means a lot to me personally, because it was the first time that my family was able to really get together and really congregate with one another since the pandemic had started. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of see, so like to your point, 5-6 generations sitting in my aunt's living room singing to Earth, Wind & Fire and the Isley Brothers. I mean, that was just, it's something I'll never forget. How did that opportunity come about, and what was, I guess, for each of you, what was the most memorable thing about that experience?
You know, I think about a saying that says, every adversity has within it the seed of its equal or a greater benefit. Mm-hmm. And so this whole pandemic experience has really pushed us to push to the planet to invent different things, and so we're just in motion with that Versus thing. It was just something that was happening, you know, prior to us doing that, and that the one that we did, they had just decided they were going to rent out an actual venue for it, and to, you know, we had sponsors and the whole thing, and it was happening in real time. We weren't aware that it was going to reach as many people as it did, you know, globally. And the producers were actually talking to us on the phone in between and telling us what was happening and recommending certain things, you know, to, you know, give us more energy, da da da, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. But it was quite an experience. And up to that point, the largest audience that we had played for was 250,000,
right,
at California Jam in Los Angeles, you know, years ago. And then we've done some festivals that equal that. But this was like millions, millions and millions of people.
It's crazy.
Right, right. And it was more of, you know, Versus, you know, with Tim, you know, Timberland, you know, Versus with different artists. But with us, it was more of a celebration of the music. You know, and we have history with Ronnie, history with Steve Harvey. So it was just like us sitting right here, you know. But we didn't have no idea of the impact that it was happening in the homes. And when we got off, we thought we were going to be on for 2 hours. And we said, okay, that's it. Then Timberland called and said, this thing is out of control. We were there 4.5 hours.
Whoa.
It was nice to be reminded of not just our catalog of songs, but the Isleys' catalog.
Yes.
They go back a little bit further than we do. And I sat there and I was like, wow, yeah, I forgot about that one, you know. But, I mean, both groups have a tremendous history in the music industry, and it was a great, great moment for us and the Isleys.
Deserved. Yeah, deserved. It was amazing just to see you all singing Isley songs, and then they singing you all, like, it was just... Yeah, I'll never.
I did ask Ernie to loan me some money though.
That publishing,
you know,
is long.
Like, it's because he kept, because, you know, because it's like that hit,
He's like, yeah, Ernie wrote that too. And Ernie went to, I had already asked Ronald, you know, jokingly for some money, but then when they kept saying Ernie wrote that and he wrote that, yeah. Said, Ernie, you know, come, you got to get no music.
Right. Now, speaking of songwriting, I want to go back to, we mentioned Mr. Maurice White, but I feel like a whole lot more time should be given to Mr. White, because I got in this business as a songwriter. So as a songwriter, a black man who's a songwriter, I've always admired. I'm just gonna say Mr. White from now on, because that's the respect he deserves. I've always admired him because of the way he defied genres, and as you know, at every step of this journey, people are trying to peg you, put you in a box, put you in a genre, put you in a place. And to hear those songs as I was growing up, and to hear them today and realize how deliberately genreless and universal they were, and how much of a vision you have to fight for every day to not get knocked off your course and change and bend and swerve, because that's what's the pressure is every day. It's just, I just don't think he gets enough, honestly, I don't think he gets enough acknowledgement, respect, accolades for how he changed music and made it possible for someone like me to actually be in this business as a songwriter. And I'm speaking just for myself personally. I know most artists I've spoken to and creatives feel that way, but it's just a game changer of you all are a game changer of a movement. It's not just a band. It's the permission to be yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of a movement.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, I think looking back, we were in an era coming out of doo-wop, you know, and coming out of bands, you know, that everybody wore the same thing, and, you know, were steps and choreographed and all that kind of stuff. Right. And then comes, you know, Sly Stone. Yeah. You know, and all the emergence of, you know what was happening in rock music at that time with horns and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, he was playing with Ramsey Lewis at the time and doing session work at Chess. So he had a very extensive knowledge of the hooks and how, you know, you had to, he was doing commercials, playing on commercials and stuff, and he got that sense of knowing, okay, you need to have a hook. So he's playing wonderful music with Ramsey, you know, but it's what it is. And he gets this idea that, man, you know, if I put a group together, you know, and you know, the rest is history, you
right,
know,
right.
But and still play, you know, Latin, still played, you know, jazz, still played, you know, whatever, classical, but made it hooky, you know, and made it fashionable, you know, and took the barriers off of it,
right?
You know, and the interesting thing about it is, and Verdine can help you out with this, but he showed me, you know, drawings,
right?
You know, he was a conceptualizer that actually he would draw stuff out. And so that last Days and Times album cover, you know, that was in his head,
right?
You know, before, you know, we actually did that, you know,
a visionary.
Yeah.
And with Reese, you know, we would see we cut our teeth on Earth, Wind and Fire. You know, being young cats, incubation period, and he actually walked us through it, and we were participants, you know, while he was doing his thing. You know, as a producer, as a writer, and as Philip said, you know, reset all those genres that come from Memphis, mm-hmm. all the way to Chicago, Ramsey Lewis, Chess Records, all those records, the forming Earth, Wind and Fire, in the midst of, like, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, which was a heavy period for America.
Yeah.
So it was, so we were really captured by that, you know, and we were in the right place, right time, you know. And so it was very powerful. And then we, at the right age.
At the right age, yeah, amen.
Yeah, yeah. And we had the late Charles Stepney, too. you know, who doesn't get a lot of credit. You know, he was, I think he was our Quincy Jones, George Martin, you know, where he taught us. Reese would throw the concept out there, but then Step would break it down to actually what we were actually playing. You know, so it was actually great for us to be around those kind of minds at our age. Like Philip said, the right age too, right?
You mentioned genreless music. There, really, that speaks volumes about not editing your creativity. Allow yourself to be open and just go for it. Yeah. You know, you just don't edit yourself. Just go, just create the content, you know?
You feel like artists now are more edited? Or do you feel like artists, especially black artists now, are more free?
Well, it's a scary, kind of scary balance now, because you can actually become a star nowadays and not have to know shit. You know,
exactly.
You know,
amen.
You know, I mean,
right,
like,
right.
You know, you don't have to really have very much talent, you know.
Or
you
musicality.
You know, right. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time, right. You know. And then on top of that, then you start to call yourself a producer,
right.
And the whole
right.
thing, and not knowing what a producer is, or what they're responsible for, or you know, right. or you know, and paying no respect to those who great producers, you know, that right. you've, you know, listened to before. So it's nuts, you know. But then there are, you know, but then that's not everybody's journey, but it's so much of a journey that people, you can look at those instances and think that there's a shortcut,
right,
to becoming great, and saying great at what? You know,
right.
That's the question.
Right,
right, right. And then what happens, they see so much of it on television, in media. So they think, oh, okay, if I do that, then that'll make me big. You know, and as Philip says, you know, a lot of times you might be, you know, their journey is quick. It's fast. It was, you know, and ours took longer. But it was great for us because we worked around really great, great people, you know.
We were like in a college of music that toured around.
Right.
We were being taught and instructed as we toured, you know, and it was like being in college, only it moved, you know, and as it moved, it was creating.
That's amazing to me. Right. That sounds like perfection.
Yeah. And we had fun too, so what?
Yeah, I mean, had fun. Sounds like y'all had fun.
Yeah, you know, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
State of Black music.
How much do you guys' spirituality play in your creativity and your live performances?
It's our DNA. I often talk about the fact that we were all kind of raised the same way, you know, our moms and you know, those of us who had dads and stuff were, you know, pretty much a cut of the same cloth. You know, we knew that we couldn't, you know, do certain things in any of our households, you know, so, you know, and even today, you know, in our organization, we don't even have to talk about it. We vibe, and we know when people are going to mesh with the organization and when they're not. No judgment, you just won't be with us.
Right. You know? Right. That's all we're really saying.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Right.
One thing that I've always appreciated about you all is the fact that you all were always good at reaching back to those that came behind you. I mean, we talked about Lucky Day earlier. You all have done stuff with Raphael Sadiq, Kelly Rowland, so many different younger artists that have clearly been influenced by what you all have done throughout the years. Why do you think it's so important to continue to do that and just kind of reach back and, as you said earlier, teach and educate?
Well, music is free, yeah. And it's liberating, and it's very powerful, and we're inspired by them.
Right.
As well, you know, like music doesn't, you know, differentiate, you know, it, you know, that creative force,
is ingenious in young folks, old folks, middle folks, whatever, you know. And the one thing about music is it don't lie. It's either good or it's not.
Right.
You know.
Right. And you will know it immediately when you listen
right away.
Yeah, right.
You know.
That is so true.
Yeah, that Show Me the Way with Rafael Sadiq is still one of my favorite records, like the last like 15, 20 years. So yeah. It was a
lot of fun. He you know, like I said, we were honored to work with all those great artists as well, you know. So it was a mutual admiration society, as it were.
Yes. Can we also just talk about just the showmanship and the fashion?
Got to talk about the fashion.
Because, I mean, like the freedom, the colorfulness, especially for black men, that's something that Chuck and I, my brother right here, are a band. And when we perform, we purposely are colorful. I mean, we're colorful right now.
Right.
But there's something so liberating about it, because especially for black men in music, black men in the world, when you go shopping, it's just black, gray, and navy blue.
That's what I have on today.
No judgment.
That's what I have on today. Yeah. Black, gray.
That's Issa Miyake you got on, right?
Absolutely.
Right, right, right.
You see?
Right.
Right here. But again, the permission you guys gave throughout your career, every time you step on stage. We went to your show, 3 years ago, here in Nashville at Bridgestone, and I just stood there in awe, because not only was it audibly just the best, but hitting all the senses, because visually I'm like, I cannot believe these guys are wearing this. I cannot believe this is happening, and these are disappearing, and the whole thing. I mean, was that a conscious decision to say we're going to be 100% ourselves visually as well, or did someone have to make you do it? Like, what was the whole idea behind the look?
Well, it started out just wanting to. We used to make trips to Broadway.
Broadway, that's right.
And in fact, my first suit that I ever had, Maurice bought me to go to a play. Oh, wow. You know, and he helped me, you know, understand, you know, okay, well, these are the colors that go, you know, good with your skin and so forth, you know, because we like 20 years old, you know, and he was 30 at the time and stuff. But really, man, it was about after we gave ourselves Maurice gave us the permission to be free and to own it.
Right.
And once the whole thing got in motion, then we were just traveling with it, you know, learning and evolving. And this whole thing, Verdine had a relationship with Miles Davis.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Miles' swagger has a lot to do with, you know, and their relationship has a lot to do with the way he is today.
Yeah, Jeff, when I would go to Miles' house, he'd show me his closet, and he was wearing Issa Miyake back in the day.
What?
Miles was. Yeah, Yoji Yamamoto, yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. And he was like, the way he would put it together, you know, I was like in awe. Yeah. And I would go shopping with him. He let me go shopping with him. He'd say, what you think about this? What you think about that? Yeah, that's how he talked, you know.
Yes, sir.
And then one night I was at his house, and we had a really nice day, I thought, you know. It was great, you know what I mean? And he said, oh, man, I had a good time. He said, why don't y'all split? He threw me out of his house, you know what I mean?
Wait a minute, tell him.
But I was gassed. I said, man, he threw me out of his house. But as Philip said, you know, the way we got into it with Maurice, you know, older brothers that had been there, that had seen it. So we came across really as, you know, open African-American men, dignified African-American men, sense of fashion, culture, things like that, you know. The only thing about the COVID thing that kind of cramped our style is that me and Ralph can't go out shopping like we normally do on the road.
Yeah, you know.
It's not the same.
I recently, you know, the three of us turned 70 this right. year, and Verdine threw one heck of a party in Beverly Hills at Mr. Chow's.
And I wanted to celebrate the three of us too, you know. But I said I got to celebrate these guys too, my brothers, you know.
I got up and I spoke and I said to everyone, I said, you know, when we come into a city and check into the hotel, you don't see Verdine. You won't see him out. You ain't gonna see him down at the bar or the restaurant. He'll be in his room, unless I call him and I use the secret word. The secret word is shop. So
so dress
yeah,
right,
so, because yeah, only, yeah, it's only certain York, cities. Paris, it's only it's not right. No.
Right.
So I'll call up Dean and say, "Hey Dean, man, there's a Bergdorf Goodman here, man, and we need to go ahead and hit this. Meet me in the lobby at 12. We'll get a car, we'll go over there and do the thing." And then one time we were in, was it Paris?
Paris.
We were in Paris and we just had a car follow us down the street with the trunk open. We were just throwing stuff in the truck as we hit the shops.
But
you know,
that's just an example of, you know, of culture, you know, because it's not only just fashion, but it's art, everything that we've been able to participate in, you know, along with our music, you know.
I want to wait. I could, before you.
No,
before
no,
you,
please.
Before you go on, you got to tell him the Miles Davis story about the Ferrari when you were in
that. Oh God, I'm in his car. He's living in Malibu. Okay. And I get in the car. He's going like 110 miles an hour down Pacific Coast Highway. Woo. I said, "Miles, you're going
dangerous.
To right?" But he was like getting off, you know. I said, "Miles, we're going fast." He said, "I'm in here too. Shut up."
Listen, that's Miles.
PCH, that 110 on the PCH is that's crazy.
Yeah, because it's not like it's that wide, us. You know.
No.
Right. You look up and be in the ocean over here.
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's right. But along the way, we've had an opportunity to really meet some of the greats and learn from them, you know. And it was just an honor just, you know, for him to tell me to shut up, you know what I mean? but it was great. It was great.
Well, when the world opens up, I would love to go shopping with y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In any of the cool cities that you love to shop.
Oh, yeah. Is Nashville one of those cities?
I'm not sure.
Well, we got to ask around. Yeah, you guys got to let it. Is there a cool place to shop in Nashville, you know? Well, I know y'all right. know. You're going to tell somebody.
There's, you got to dig.
We on the come up in Nashville.
We're on the come up. It's on the come up, yeah. for sure.
Can't sleep on Nashville. Nashville got a lot of stuff.
And it's they're flashy. Not like that. But
well, when this
any
is
city
over.
Y'all any city y'all choose, I'm down.
Okay. When this is over, I need a couple of recommendations for Nashville.
Okay.
Me and the chops.
Okay.
Okay.
You know? All right. Done deal.
I ain't in all that. Give me a great golf course. And
right.
Okay.
Great,
okay. That's right.
And a great coffee shop.
There's plenty of great golf courses.
We got that. We got
golf and coffee for sure.
State of Black Music.
I think we should play a game. Can we play a game?
Uh-oh.
Can we play a game?
Three card Molly. Let's go.
Let's play a game.
We play a game here called, the non-PC version is Keep or Kill. But really what it is you're just choosing one over the other. And because you guys span so many genres and know so many kinds of artists, there's just so many ways we can go here. But let's just start big, shall we? Keep or kill. Obviously, we're not really killing anyone, but it's just a matter of taste. Michael Jackson or Prince?
Whoa.
I'd say both.
You're keeping them both?
Yeah, you can't just boot. You can't boot out either one of them.
I told y'all, starting big,
right?
I'll go Let's Groove or September.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go September. Keep September.
That's crazy.
I mean, that song has turned out to be.
It's proven itself.
Yeah, it really has over and over. You know.
Every September.
Every September.
Every
that's
other,
right.
And every other
the
month.
The news series just do a whole thing about September, you know, so.
And I didn't think that song was that hot when we when we played it at our, you know, listened to the whole album. We were having a listen session at the studio. So like we played that. They were going nuts. And I was going, it's okay. It's a little, I said, it's a little simple to me. It's a little simple.
I got one.
You were wrong.
Simplicity.
You were wrong.
Indeed.
David Foster or Quincy Jones?
Jesus.
Well, I'm going to have to give it to Jones.
Quincy Jones.
You can't even do that.
You can't even do that. That may have been an unfair question.
I mean, David Foster would even say Quincy Jones.
Foster would say that. He would say Q.
Yeah, you got to give it to Q.
Yeah. No question. Yeah.
He's the best.
Okay, so you all have so many albums. So, yeah. So my keep or kill is All in All or Gratitude.
That's not fair, Timon.
Well, it's not fair because one is a studio album and the other is a live album.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So if you want to compare two studios, which are Keep All in All, then add
All in All or Open Your Eyes.
Which one?
Open Your Eyes.
Oh, All in All.
All in All.
Light Years.
Light Years. Yeah. By far.
Oh,
and
yeah. See,
but, and you know what you mentioned? You mentioned those records. They're interesting that you mentioned them. What was great about the records that we were making at the time, they got better and better. They were really growing. You heard something different, you know. Open Our Eyes, and That's Where the World came after Open Our Eyes. No, that was later. But all those records, like All in All was a great record, you know. But it's different than Open Our Eyes. You know, so it's kind of, you know, interesting. And different than Head to the Sky and Last Days and Times.
Speaking of the albums, like, what would your favorite albums be? Like, each of you, like,
I would have to say between That's the Way the World and All in All, for me,
I'd have to kind of go with Phil, but I'd have to also add in Gratitude because it was a live album and it was just a killer.
Like
the spirit and the energy
that
was captured on Gratitude is undeniable.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. I would have to say that the same that Philip and Ralph said. And then I would like to put one song. If you had like a show called Unsung, right? Mm-hmm. There's a song on the Spirit album that Reese did, Burning Bush. Mm. Ooh. Yeah. Not many people have heard that song.
Burning Bush.
The one of the ones that were not as popular, but very, very powerful.
I want to keep going, but that just triggered a question I want to ask before I forget. You guys are a band, and nowadays it feels like there's plenty of solo artists that are doing well, but there's not many bands at all, and certainly not black bands.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, you got to sacrifice to be a band.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do something for the greater cause to keep the band together.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that says it all right there. You know, it's how much you value keeping, you know, the band together. The thing about it is, it's good for us.
Yeah, we love it.
Because, you know, like, we're a rarity, you know, like, to have a band gets better with time.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, it gets better. You can't fake that funk. Right. You know, you cannot fake that funk. You know, it's like when a band has played together so much, you know, you go hear them and see them, you see and hear magic. Because that chemistry, you can't duplicate that no other way. You know, so it's always an experience. And it's an experience for the actual participants, for us. Yeah. You know, every night is different, you know. Don't misunderstand me. Every night don't feel like, you know, over the moon. But those nights that it feels like over the moon, you're just so celebratory and so happy and thankful to be there.
Right.
I want to add to what Philip is saying. You know, you can get a group of musicians together and say, okay, we're a band, but does it have the chemistry between the guys that are playing? Does it have the magic? That's why, you know, the Miles Davis Quintet, which consisted of Miles and Wayne Shorter, and before Wayne Shorter, George Coleman, Tony Williams, Ron Carter, and Herbie Hancock was so great. Chemistry, man. It was the right cats, you know. And you, like I said, you can get. Yeah, we can get. All of us can get together and create a band. Get some cats. You get them over there. But is it going to be special? Are you going to have that chemistry that makes it stand out and makes it special?
And it's the time it takes too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
it's like a red wine. That's practice, the season.
Right. And I think what happens now with technology is that because you can get a lot of instant gratification. it doesn't encourage musicians to play instruments for long and to play with other people, because everyone's kind of individualized in their world with their camera and their situation. But to be a band, you have to get with people and sacrifice time and watch it get better. Because most bands don't come together and just amazing the first time they play. It takes development.
We still rehearse.
We still study.
Philip writes the shows, put the shows together. We had a 2-week rehearsal, call it boot camp. We were in boot camp, you know, and it's great. It's really great, but that's the way we get it. That's how we get there.
Sometimes boot camp is the best time, right?
Yeah, that's how we get
it's
there.
It's so much fun.
And then you see it grow every night. And the things that sometimes he threw out in rehearsal, you start figuring out once you do the show. He said, oh, that's what he was talking about. You know what I mean? And it starts working, and, you know, you're in the bigger picture.
State of Black Music.
You all have had moments where you've been able to break off and kind of do your own thing with each of you. And I'd like to know, like, what are some things, or what is a thing that you've been able to kind of take from those personal or those separate career defining moments and be able to bring them back to the brand at large?
Well, the beautiful thing about having the autonomy to have your individuality and explore without any barriers and all that kind of stuff is you discover your strengths and your weaknesses, and you also discover new stuff. You know, for myself, you know, getting the opportunity to play with other musicians, other producers, and do those kinds of things has made me a better artist. You know, and so obviously, you know, you come wherever you go, you take that with you. You know, when you come back here, you know, you've grown. You have a lot more to contribute.
Easy Lover with Phil Collins.
Yeah, well, the whole Chapman's Wall. As a result of the Phoenix Horns, who is our horn section, we're actually playing with Phil during our off time. Recorded on his records and went on tour with him. And when they played in Los Angeles, you know, made the introduction. And I was working on my second solo project, and one thing led to the other. And Phil was asked to produce, you know, that record, the Chinese Wall record. But it was one of those kinds of things that you had an opportunity to explore and expand and grow.
One of my favorite songs. I love that song.
No, Children of the Ghetto is still.
It's a great song, but that album, Chinese Wall, is a great album.
Yes, yes, it is.
The whole period.
The video.
Period. It's a great
the
album.
Too, the videos too.
It's just great.
Philip, I knew on some of your solo projects there were gospel records, which we all love gospel music on the stage, but I was today years old when I realized that you were on Andre Crouch's 1979 Grammy Award winning album, I'll Be Thinking of You, and Walter Hawkins' 1980 classic, The Hawkins Family. Talk to us about the significance and the impact of gospel music on your life, your art, just as an artist as a whole.
Well, you know, it expresses, you know, my faith. And I never wanted to do it just as a expression of just doing music, but more, you know, just personal, you know, it's a personal, I always wanted it to be personal for me. We got a chance to, me and Maurice got a chance to work on that with the Hawkins on several occasions. And that was a lot of fun because Maurice really loved and respected gospel music as well when he came out of that school. It was one of those kinds of things that, you know, when I started writing and expressing, you know, my faith, I got a chance to work with different artists that were we were working with, like Jerry Peters and Denise Williams and Skip Scarborough, you know, and it was a lot of fun.
State of Black Music.
Y'all has been a part of so much in insane music. Who are y'all listening? Who do you listen to now? Who are you loving currently?
Actually,
what's on your playlist?
You
You wouldn't guess in a million years for me.
Surprises.
You know, I mean, I really, you know, I love jazz and all that kind of stuff, but I listen to J. Cole.
Pride be the reason for the family dichotomy. Got uncles and some aunties that's too proud to give apology. Slowly realizing what the root of all my problems be. It got me feeling different when somebody said they proud of me.
J. Cole is dope.
Cole as well.
Cole, he's nice. Dope, man.
He's so dope.
I'm poetry. Talking about that dude. He's so talented.
He's super talented. I agree.
He's like so talented, you know. Like, and now some people gonna go crazy, but I like Post Malone too.
I love Post Malone. Yeah. Circles,
the melodies.
I'm like, woo. Damn. He's see, because I can really hear the evolution in hip hop, you know, mm-hmm. and in terms of the production mm-hmm. and what they're hearing and what they're putting forth. Because a lot of times, remember it was the other time. It didn't matter if you could understand what they said. With Post Malone and you know J. Cole, man,
it's clear.
You can understand what they're saying, and then his rhythms
and it's melodic too.
His melodics, right?
Woo.
And then the way they add all kind of different, you know, they do the same orchestration as you know, like when we're thinking about orchestrating stuff, but they do it with different stuff, you know. So being able to really enjoy that has been a treat for me.
That's cool.
What about you, Verdeen?
Yeah.
Well, this week, we were talking about Miles Davis. Miles Davis's nephew, Vince Wilburn, called me on the road to check on us, see how we were doing, you know? So it made me go back to check out, you know, Sketches in Spain to see if it sounded as good to me now as it did then. It sounds better. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, Ralph had mentioned, you know, the three of us made 70. And that's a different perspective than 20. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of the things that maybe you didn't pay attention to then, you really pay attention. Wow, you know. And at my party, it was a banging party, too. On my toast, I said the first 70 is the hardest. The first 70. You know what I mean? But that encompassed music, that encompassed everything that we've had a chance to hear and to see, you know, in the culture, you know, and we can go back, you know, like Philip was talking about J. Cole, he can get into that. And, you know, now we can get into the stuff without judgment.
But Nas turned me on to J. Cole.
Nas. Did you hear that? One more time. Who turned you on to J. Cole?
Nas. Because I was listening. I mean, he didn't turn me on personally, but I was listening to a lecture that he was doing at one of the universities, you know. See, and this is a cool thing that about, you know, this is one of the cooler things about, you know, social and all this stuff and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, that you can, you know, you could go into those rabbit holes and see different stuff, you know.
Learn stuff, right.
You know, but yeah, I was listening to a lecture that he was doing at one of the universities and stuff, and that's the first time I ever heard, you know, out of his mouth, J. Cole, I'm saying if Nas says.
I bet Nas would be happy to know.
If he says that he respects somebody, it's worth me checking out.
Right. Wow.
For me, I'm into jazz, way into jazz.
Okay.
I got turned on to jazz when I was 14 years old, excuse me, in Los Angeles. That's where I'm from. Because Los Angeles had the first ever 24-hour jazz station. It's called KBCA 105.1. And I grew up listening to that. And I am so much into jazz that I have my own radio show that I do on a weekly basis. And there's a group of guys out of San Francisco, and they're known as the San Francisco Jazz Collective. And if you're into jazz, you got to check these guys out, you know.
I will be listening to that as soon as we leave here
today. They are absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
San Francisco Jazz Collective.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the reason I have a radio show is because I've always wanted to be a broadcaster. So I, you know, the opportunity presented itself and I just jumped into it, you know.
I'm actually surprised by the answers. Legit surprised. But like, it makes total sense. It makes total sense.
Nobody said Migos, though.
No one said Migos.
Nobody said the Migos.
No one said the Migos. No one said the Migos.
So I have a question for each of you.
If someone asked you to write a love song to Earth, Wind, and Fire, what would the title of that song be?
Wow.
A love song
to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mm. What would the title of that song be?
I would call mine That Special Journey.
Nice.
I would call mine Love and Music.
All About Love.
All About Love. I love that.
This is so. That was such a good question.
Great question.
Great question.
It was a great question.
Thank you.
Jeez. Nice jacket too.
But this has been a dream come true. Listen. I gotta just thank
100%.
You. 100%. Just sharing space and time with us. This has meant the world. Looking forward to the concert here in Nashville.
Yes.
And wow, I learned a lot today.
I learned a lot. I have homework to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big homework to do.
Mama, look.
Always studying. Always learning, right?
Closing thoughts?
Man, no, I just wanted to say it's been a pleasure and an honor to be on the stage with you cats, man. You know,
right. You
guys are blazing the trail, you know, doing things, you know. And, you know, it's the admiration is mutual, you know. Thank you for having us.
Great questions. All great questions.
I would agree.
Across
you know,
the board.
Well, you know,
that's so important. If you're going to interview somebody, come with some really cool questions.
Right, right, right.
And you guys are executives, artists, you know, producers, which is great. So, you know, and it's great to see that too, you know.
Inspired by you guys. Real talk. Inspired by you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
call my mom and dad. Guess who I was with today?
This feels like the state of black music is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is doing very well.
When you get two Phillips on the stage, I mean, this is what happens.
Get out of here.
State of Black Music.
Man, I'm still bugging about this. It's like, this is crazy, y'all.
Yo, just sitting with them?
Yeah, like.
Like casually on stage like that? Like,
what is life?
The energy was amazing.
It's crazy. Like, Philip Bailey is, like, that's Philip Bailey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ralph was super cool, too.
Ralph was super cool.
And Birdie.
Birdie? That's my guy.
Let me listen.
Birdie
had. My guy.
Verdine's hair is still like
it's laid.
Laid.
Yo, listen.
Or as they say, laid to the gods.
Bro. I understand Verdine. When you were in his presence,
yeah,
you understand how much of a rock and roll icon
he's a rock and roll icon.
Like how people talk about Slash and this person, that person. No. Like he is that.
And to know that he was cool in Miles Davis, Jesus.
Yeah. That's,
it makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense.
But he's what I love when I have this theory that to be great at music, you have to be intelligent.
Yes.
And I love when people prove me right.
Mm. They proved us right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Maurice White.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
But I mean, the visionary, you know what I'm saying? Like
crazy.
I didn't realize he was so much older than them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like he really had this idea and brought these young cats up and then kind of like was cool with leaving in their care. That's a whole nother level of crazy. Like he literally Moses'd that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
man.
He took it to the promised land, was like, all right, now y'all can fly. And then just everything else too, the emotions and
right. And they still to this day like the brand or just
and I was gonna say like you could tell that he did right by them because they're still championing that man's legacy. Like
yeah, man.
Still carrying the torch.
And what better way? Like, I mean, death is not easy, but when you think about as a creative person leaving this world, just to leave a legacy of music and to leave people, like real people that champion you for years and years, they telling your story, like even sitting with them at this time, they're still telling his story. We still getting to learn about him. We still getting to feel him and going to their concerts. They're still tributing him. We still get to see him. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
A lot of other groups could need to take.
Me. I was gonna say that because his vision was so realized, right? That and this is not in any way disrespect him or anyone else, but like, because of course we wish he was here, but his vision was so realized that we saw them live twice, but we saw them live recently, right? And he's still very much part of the music, but they're so well realized that I'm not saying you don't miss him, but their show is still so full.
Yes, solid.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like. There's many other groups where obviously there's a group member that left or passed away.
Right.
Yeah. And you can feel that void. Yeah. Like, you needed so-and-so in there because it seemed right.
Like when I saw H-Town.
Oh. R.I.P. Dino. I'm sorry.
I was trying to hold it in for so long.
You get out of my
I love him, man. Yeah, he's one of my top of all
Maurice
time.
Maurice White,
one of my top all time.
Top songwriter producers.
Yes.
Maurice White is a visionary in the same way Smokey Robinson is a visionary.
Quincy Jones.
And Stevie Wonder.
State of Black Music.
In reality, what I'm waiting on in life at 2021 is more visionaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We all just doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, when is there going to be this person that have a dream and fully realize that dream and fully execute it with the care and concern that it takes to make something new like that?
Hmm. Who's a visionary of that caliber?
Hmm. We need visionaries in Black music. I'm serious. Like,
it all feels repetitive sometimes.
It's
right?
Repetitive. Like, yeah. And even
everybody's doing. Even everybody's looking to the side.
Even the new stuff. The new stuff is the old stuff repackaged. It's not even an addition to the old stuff. Like, it's just
that 90s, a loop of something from the 90s.
It's just like if it's an ode to neo soul, it's just neo soul. It's just nothing new, nothing
added to it.
No extra anything. No, not even subject matter. We need some visionary.
Yeah, we using samples at the beginning of the songs and then not even sampling songs, right, which is crazy.
You basically just playing the song in the beginning.
Playing the song in the beginning to reel people in, and then you go into a whole different song, which throws me off. But
man, I want it, man. Wake up.
Well, I think I'm sitting in front of two visionaries right now, so
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, that's what we strive for.
We're going to look back in 10 years and realize the greatness that comes out of this studio.
Mm.
And I'm not just saying that because I know y'all and I'm sitting here in front of y'all. Like, I genuinely bump y'all shit.
I appreciate it. It feels
good every time. Like, the replay value is just, like, nuts.
Yeah.
The replay value.
And it's like, I was just telling y'all, Win My Heart from the Shindellas record is just, like, one of my favorite songs. Like, it just feels so fucking good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to provide a service. Listen, you know what I'm saying, Timon?
Yeah.
New American Soul.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intention behind it.
State of Black Music.
The Esther Roll
Award.
Well, it's about that time for, you know what it is, the Irby Award.
Esther Roll. Esther Roll.
The Esther Roll Black Excellence Award is what that stands for, if you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we talk about a lot of people that I think are under praised and under celebrated, but now's the time we really focus, cut the bullshit, get to it, and nominate someone that has not gotten the praise for their Black excellence.
Yeah.
Can be anybody, really, as long as they're Black and they're excellent. What y'all think? Who you think?
Unfortunately, this person is no longer here with us. And it's, you know, you hope that, you know, you see this person continue to go on and write these amazing hits. But unfortunately, they left us not too long ago. I definitely I would love to give this award during this episode to Miss Andrea Martin.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I agree with that. 100%.
Like, she's penned
some of my favorites.
Like, literally some of the songs on the soundtrack to my life.
Mm. Yeah.
And she just does not, she did not get the credit that she deserved.
No.
And she's still not getting the credit that she's well-deserving
right now. I agree.
Yeah, so.
No, I love that. I love that. I love that. Chuck and I both knew her.
Yeah.
She was just a one of a kind person.
Yes.
Like, you know, some people put on for the room and some people just are who they are and they don't have to adjust. Andrew would just walk in the room as herself. Huge personality, huge
you
talent.
You had to adjust.
You know what I'm saying?
First time I met her, she was like, I don't want to hear nothing. Just put 10 tracks in Pro Tools and let me go.
But then you leave her and she would fly off the handle. Like, she'd hear the music and be inspired and then just start singing something and moving and dancing. And then she could sing.
Yeah.
So everything sounded good. Like, she was so brilliant.
Brilliant.
And people forget that she actually had a record out, like, in 98.
Yeah.
Signed to Arista.
Yes. Let Me Return the Favor is one of my favorite, like, underrated, forgotten R&B records.
Mm.
I still play that record.
Clive Davis signed it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, listen, like as a songwriter and I, and like part of that songwriting community, like Andrea was one of the reasons that I fell in love. She was from New York. I saw her all the time in studios. She would encourage me. It's crazy to be talking about her in past tense anyway. You kind of feel like you just haven't seen her for a while, so it's bugging me out.
Yeah.
But she's responsible for a lot of hit records, a lot of careers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's no Melanie Fiona without Andrea Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big part of Monica's start.
Yeah.
Before You Walk Out of My Life. Angie Stone. I can't eat. Yeah. I can't sleep anymore.
Classics.
And many. In Vogue, yeah. Don't Let Go. All them songs, man.
Robin S.
Robin S.
Who I believe she said recently was actually her voice.
Yes.
It was.
We were just talking about that like last year.
Yeah, man.
Ugh.
Oh, life.
That bugs me out, man. It bugged me. When I heard the news, it bugged me out. Very similar to what it was like with LaShawn.
Yeah.
Because that's just a brilliant mind and
creative force
that's no longer here. But so 100%. Let's give the Esther Roll Award. Yeah, you agree?
I do.
Yeah.
100%.
To Andrea Martin for her brilliance, her brilliant life, her brilliant legacy, and all the love she spread with her work and her spirit.
Whew. State of Black Music.
We had the pleasure of asking Earth, Wind, and Fire what song they would go out with. Here's what they said.
All right, so to close this out, after a conversation like this, we always like to ask our guests, if there was a song that you would choose by anyone in the world to take us out,
oh man,
what would it be?
Okay, I tell you what. I'm going to go Miles Davis, and I'm going to go to an album he did, one of many collaborations with Gil Evans. The album is called Miles Ahead, and there's a very special tune on there called My Ship Has Sails.
I would go with Marvin Gaye, because this, you know, this is what's going on. Yeah, because you know, that. this is about the culture.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, it's about the people, you know, and that's like classic and it's timeless.
I love that, Mr. White.
Same? Yeah.
That's how you end it. You see what I'm saying? What's going on? And Miles Davis. Come on.
Amazing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
What an honor. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.